from the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, February 19th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Since it is Monday, let's do the Monday march back to work very quickly and painlessly. Straighten out your backbone, put a smile on your face, take a deep breath, and keep a prayer on your lips. Everything is going to be just fine. Trust me on this one. Now for the official start to the blogcast.
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, flattery is telling others exactly what they think of themselves. Really. So be careful with it because you might create a monster.
I'm the devil.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the broadcast. Here we go.
Twisted history.
Should be good.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Yeah.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah, there you go. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1878, Thomas Edison patented the phonograph. Now, having done what I do for a living, if you can call this living, I've developed a phonographic memory over the years. And it was on this day in 1963, the publication of Betty Friedan's The Feminine Mystique reawakened the feminist movement in the United States as women's organizations and consciousness-raising groups spread. Of course, this went totally unnoticed by most men.
That's just stupid!
By now, you've heard the stunning verdict Friday that this Judge Engoron, which rhymes with moron, levied against President Trump and his company and his two sons. He has three sons, I believe, but the one is too young to be in business yet, but he'll be in business soon, trust me. Anyhow, this was clearly a kangaroo court, and Prosecutor Letitia James, I think, has sealed the end of her career. I think the judge has probably sealed the end of his as well. And I don't know. It's pretty amazing when you have, for instance, entrepreneur Kevin O'Leary out of Canada mentioning that this judgment sticks. If this judgment sticks, every developer must be jailed. It's appalling. It's un-American. When a Canadian comes in and tells you that something is un-American, I don't know. That's an attention getter for me anyhow. Clearly, if you've been watching this trial at all, and it's hasn't been real easy to watch it, but there's been enough video distributed, particularly on YouTube, of this judge's attitude. I mean, he comes across like an adolescent with gray hair. And clearly, he is incredibly biased toward the left. He has a clear hatred for Donald Trump. And in the American judicial system, in the justice system here in this country, judges are supposed to be fair and impartial. This one is not. But then again, he's not the first judge who has been unfair and biased, okay? This sort of thing has been going on with judges ever since the beginning of our nation. So, but Friday night, Sean Hannity had a very interesting program, and one of the first guests he spoke with was Alan Dershowitz.
Professor Dershowitz, I'll start with you. You wrote a best-selling book, Get Trump. Where did you get the title for that book?
I didn't make it up. I wish I were creative and original, but I got it from, obviously, Letitia James' campaign. She ought to be brought up before the bar. You should not have an elected prosecutor campaigning on the promise to get a particular defendant. Now, if she didn't get him, she would lose the election. This is a variation of Stalin and Beria back in the 1930s when the head of the KGB says to Stalin, show me the man, I'll find you the crime. This is show me the man, we know who it is. She told us who it was, Donald Trump. And we'll find you the fraud, even though there was no harm. Generally, in our legal system, particularly under the system of equity, where you don't get a jury trial, if it's no harm, no foul, no harm, no fine. But when you have no damages at all, usually you can do a multiple. Say there's $1 million of damages, you can give $3 million fine. But when you have zero damages, no matter how many times you multiply it, zero plus and times whatever is all still zero. So it's outrageous. Now, I don't know whether it's going to be reversed in the appellate division. The appellate division is also elected judges, mostly by Democrats, in a county which is 85% Democrat. The New York Court of Appeals, which is the highest court, may indeed come and give justice. Generally, fines like this are reduced considerably, and that may very well happen in this case. But this tells us so much about the politicization of our justice system, the weaponization of our system. And it's so dangerous because it will mean that business people are not going to want to run for office because they know if they run for office, partisans are going to go after them, investigate them, figure out some way of getting them, like overvaluing. You know, this is a judge which overvaluates when he wants to, $350 million for no damage, then undervaluates when he wants to, Mar-a-Lago, $18 million. He's just willing to manipulate the numbers to get him to the result he wanted. I hope the courts will look at this with a very, very, very stringent eye.
As usual, Mr. Dershowitz has his thumb on the pulse of what's really going on. And it's going to be interesting to watch things develop from this point. Then, I don't know who Sean spoke with first on the program. I didn't see the program, but he also spoke with Trump attorney Alina Haba.
I'm not going to act like I was surprised because I wasn't surprised. This was a predetermined outcome in so many ways. The judge stuck throughout the entire trial to the insane valuation of Mar-a-Lago at $18 million. It is far closer to $1 billion if you just extrapolate out a 2-acre lot being worth $200 million on sale for $200 million in Palm Beach. I have many more such examples. So the question is, how does the judge get away with being far more guilty of the very thing that they said Donald Trump was guilty of?
I think the biggest message I can give the American people tonight is that he's not going to get away with it. Letitia James is not going to get away with it. The Biden administration is not going to get away with it. There is a point, and I want to say something that different than I normally do. We have the order now. I'm free to speak. And let me just say, as somebody who sat there in the trial, Sean, and I'm so happy you invited me on to say this, they will not get away with it. We will come at them, we will come hard, and we will literally fight until the truth comes out. There was nothing wrong. President Trump has done nothing wrong. All he has done is won a campaign, and that is scaring them because they know when he goes back in November 2024, he is going to clean house. And that is truly the problem. It's not about Mar-a-Lago's worth. It's not worth $18 million. It's worth probably $1.5 billion at the least. It is not worth Trump Tower, 40 Wall Street. That's not what this is about, Sean. You know it, and I know it. This is the new form of election interference. This is a campaign that cannot succeed with Biden and Kamala. So what they have to do is weaponize DAs and AGs, have Soros back them, fund them, Reid Hoffman back them, fund them, and come after Trump, everything Trump, including his children, his company, employees that are working for him, doing their job. That is the desperation of our country at this moment, which is about to go into world war. This is crazy. And it's Trump derangement syndrome. That's literally the best thing I could explain to you. And just know this, and for all those people that understand what is going on, we will win. We will fight because the facts are on our side. There are politicized judges. There are politicized DAs and AGs. But I do not have a doubt that in the end we will succeed.
Now, naturally, this case is just incredibly important because it could earmark the direction the rest of this country goes in the very near future. I mean, this is basically a condemnation on the part of the judge. It's a condemnation of the American free enterprise system. But then again, the Democrats have been doing a pretty good job of prosecuting, I'll use that term, prosecuting the American free enterprise system. I don't know if it's out of jealousy. I don't know what's behind that. But what really puzzles me is how many business people still back Democrats. Now, generally, what you do, and Donald Trump did this for years, for lots of years, when you're a person of means like a Donald Trump or anybody else with a lot of money, let's take an Elon Musk, for instance, or Jeff Bezos, you contribute to both political parties. That way, you know, the line of thinking is, well, if I contribute to both of them generously, neither party will come after me. Because human nature being what it is, jealousy plays a huge role in the behavior of people. You know, you pick up your newspaper on a Monday morning and you look at all the local shootings and what have you. A good many of those are jealousy. Some of them are drug deals gone bad, but domestic incidents of shootings, murders, what have you, comes out of jealousy. Well, there's a lot of that in politics, a lot of it. And politicians who are not in business, and a good many are, but politicians who are not in business are generally somewhat jealous of wealthy people, people who manage to make something of themselves. Now, Donald Trump isn't really 100% a self-made man, but he did take $12 million that his father handed off to him and turned it into billions and billions of dollars. So you have to admire somebody like that. Well, here comes the political jealousy. And the political jealousy in this particular case against Trump is the fact that he was so successful during the 3 years that he was president, because his last year was stolen from him thanks to COVID. He could have handled it better, naturally. But I'm not going to indict him on that right now. But he has, he's generated a lot of jealousy and a lot of anger, particularly since he was such a successful president. So what happens here, when this case is overturned, and it will be, what happens from this point on is going to leave an indelible mark on the direction this country goes. Do you notice how the mainstream media is not following Carrie Lake on her campaign? It's amazing. Just nothing about Carrie Lake. But I found this. She was out in Iowa, and she was milking a cow. Yeah, this is a cheap publicity stunt, of course. But listen to this. While she's milking the cow, she turns to the press, the gaggle of press who were there.
Which one of you is from the New York Times? You know there's only two genders, right? There's only two genders, and they know that in Iowa. I challenge the New York Times reporter and the Washington Post reporter to try to milk a cow and then try to milk a bull and see how that goes.
You see, the utter stupidity, pardon the pun, utter stupidity of the left is becoming more and more apparent. And they've actually had to back off of some of their stuff. We're not hearing about all this genderism anymore, are we? Because we've proven our point. We've proven them wrong. And, you know, all this, oh gosh, who's that? Rachel, what's her name? She's in the Biden cabinet. Ugly, ugly woman. Wasn't that attractive as a man either before the transition. But this person is just an embarrassment. And I can't help but wonder what countries around the world think of us when the Biden administration coddles people who embrace this ideology such as it is. I'm sorry that I had to use the word ideology, because there's nothing idealistic about it, but, you know, this stupidity of multiple genders. Yes, maybe you are what you think you are. That's fine. But don't expect me to go along with it. You know, I'll never forget the campaign on the anti-drug campaign that Ronald Reagan just kind of stepped into. He created it by responding to a member of the press. And can't remember who the reporter was, but asked Ronald Reagan, what do you tell a kid about drugs? And he said, just say no. Well, for days after that, the mainstream media ridiculed Ronald Reagan for that response. But it ended up becoming the slogan for the DARE campaign. Just say no. Well, that's how you handle these transgenderists, these people who believe in multiple genders. When they expect you to go along with their pronouns, just say no. Yeah, it'll knock the wind out of their sails, and it may get them a little butthurt, but hey, sorry, that's life on this planet. When I hear certain influencers or personalities on the internet talk about your truth, your truth. You know, there's only one truth, and that's the truth. You don't get to make up your own truths. Your own truths are merely fantasies, unless, of course, they're true. Harvard economics professor Roland Fryer needed armed security with him to go out in public after he published a study finding no evidence of racial bias in officer-involved shootings. And he mentioned this during an interview with the Free Press founder, Barry Weiss. Now, Barry Weiss is a young lady who I think still leans, well, she probably leans more to the center than anything else, because she's, and her journalistic career was manhandled by the left. How dare you express the truth when it doesn't fit the left narrative? That's basically what happened to her. And she went out on her own. Now, did she go out to find her truth or the truth? I think she went out to find the truth. And this is what happens. You get people like this economist, and he sits and tells the truth, and people don't like it. So what does human nature do? Threatens the guy. All right, so this was a study that he did, and I want you to hear it in his own words.
I collected a lot of data. We collected millions of observations on everyday use of force that wasn't lethal. We collected thousands of observations on lethal force. And it was in this moment in 2016 that I realized people lose their minds when they don't like the result. So what my paper showed, you'll see tomorrow, like some of you, was that, yes, we saw some bias in the low-level uses of force, every day pushing up against cars and things like that. People seem to like that result. But we didn't find any racial bias in police shootings. Now, that was really surprising to me because I expected to see it. The little-known fact is I had 8 full-time RAs that it took to do this over nearly a year. When I found this surprising result, I hired 8 fresh ones and redid it to make sure. They came up with the same exact answer, and I thought it was robust. And then I went to go give it, and my God, all hell broke loose. It was a 104-page, dense, academic, economics paper with a 150-page appendix, okay? It was posted for 4 minutes when I got my first email. This is full of shit. Doesn't make any sense. And I wrote back, how'd you read it that fast? That's amazing. You are a genius. And I had colleagues take me to the side and say, don't publish this. You'll ruin your career. I said, what are you talking about? I said, what's wrong with it? Do you believe the first part? Yes. Do you believe the second part? Well, the issue is they just don't fit together. We like the first one, but you should publish the second one another time. I said, let me ask this. If the second part about the police shootings, this is a literal conversation. I said to them, if the second part showed bias, do you think I should publish it then? And they said, yeah, then it would make sense. And I said, I guarantee you I'll publish it. We'll see what happens. So it was, you know, I lived under police protection for about 30 or 40 days. I had a 7-day-old daughter at the time. I remember going and shopping for, because, you know, when you have a newborn, you think you have enough diapers, you don't. So I was going to the grocery store to get diapers with an armed guard. It was crazy. It was really, truly crazy.
Now, perhaps it should be noted here that in 2019, Fryer was placed on a 2-year leave after facing allegations of sexual harassment. Now, Claudine Gay, who was Harvard's dean at the time, said in a letter to the economics department that he had exhibited a pattern of behavior that failed to meet expectations of conduct within our community. So Barry Weiss asked him, do you believe in karma? And as you probably remember, because this is very recent, when Claudine Gay resigned from her position as Harvard's president, happened just a few weeks back after facing scrutiny over her response or lack thereof to anti-Semitism on campus and plagiarism allegations. There were lots of those. So I can't repeat what what Fryer's response was to the question, do you believe in karma? But believe me, his response was in the affirmative. The whole concept of karma is interesting. It's even more interesting when karma runs over your dogma, right? This is a great story. My thanks to the New York Post. I love the New York Post. It's done in tabloid format, but is really a great conservative newspaper. It's owned by the same company that owns the Fox News Channel. And let me give credit to the guy who wrote the article. Patrick Riley. Okay, it's Patrick Riley, who wrote that Trump-supporting truckers are saying that they're refusing to drive to New York City after the former president was slapped with a $355 million fine in his fraud case last week. Now, this is particularly interesting because the question is rightfully being asked by many pundits, not the least of which is Elon Musk. Who did Donald Trump hurt? He didn't hurt anyone. He took out loans. The loans were paid, including interest. Everybody got what was expected. Trump didn't hurt anybody. This is purely, again, another case of the weaponization of our justice system. And in this case, the weaponization is because they're trying to prevent him from running for president in November. Now, a conservative social media influencer and trucker goes by Chicago Ray posted a video clip where he claimed that some of his colleagues are going to stop making deliveries to New York City to protest the ruling. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast, that the ruling went down on Friday. So Ray said in a video from inside his truck, he says, I've been on the radio talking to drivers for about the past hour, and I've talked to about 10 drivers, and they're going to start refusing loads to New York City starting on Monday. He said he's already spoken to some drivers that work with him who told their boss they won't go to the Big Apple. He says, I don't know how far across the country this is or how many truckers are going to start denying loads going to New York City, but I'll tell you what, you F around and find out. Sounds like his mind is made up. He said their bosses ain't going to care if we deny the loads. We'll just go somewhere else. Do you know how effing hard it is to get into New York City with one of these mother effing loads? It's kind of difficult to read this, okay? So, but yeah, it is difficult for truckers to get into New York City, not just because of traffic, but because of how much it costs to go across the damn bridges or through the tunnels. So this guy Ray claimed that 95% of truckers support the former president in the X Post. And that X Post has been viewed. Get a load of this. This is what amazes me, how quickly this catches on. That X Post has been viewed by more than 4.6 million times and received more than 50,000 likes since Friday night. No small accomplishment. And some voice their support for the boycott online. One response, do it. Let us know how we can help. You're not alone in this fight. Another wrote, we stand with the truckers, obviously coming from somebody who's not a trucker. Now, Manhattan Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron, as I mentioned earlier, rhymes with moron, ordered that Trump pay $355 million in fines for inflating his net worth by billions over a decade to receive favorable loans from banks. But there's been evidence that has surfaced on more than just a few occasions since proving that Trump did not inflate, well, certainly not by obscene standards, by obscene measures, did not inflate the values of his property. So this is a case that's not going to go away anytime soon. Of course, it's immediately going to go for appeal. But Trump was also additionally barred from serving as an officer or director of any company in New York for 3 years. I don't know how they can do this legally, but apparently the law does provide for this. So, just like Chicago Ray, Trump blasted the case as election interference, which is exactly what it is. and predicted other fallout for New York City, as he said at a rally Saturday, that other businesses are going to leave the city after his ruling. And why wouldn't they? Because if you display that you harbor political ideas and ideals that run counter to the Democrats, they're going to come after you. They're going to come after you in a manner that is reminiscent of the Nazi era in Germany. You either get on board with their way or hit the highway. And this doesn't just hurt New York. This hurts the whole nation. Because this feeds this fire that seems to be getting fanned. This fire for further division of the country. Dare I say secession? Oh, believe it or not, some of my friends here in Texas are already speaking in terms of secession. But I think we're going to wait until what happens in November. But if in November the country remains in the hands of the Democrats, I think we're going to hear a lot more in terms of secession conversations. Not just from Texas either. There are a lot of states that are really angry, primarily over the border issue. And I don't think anything could spawn a modern-day civil war quicker than this border issue. This border issue is hot. Fortunately, thanks to our clear-thinking governors down here in the southern part of the country and their campaign to send these illegal aliens to northern cities and northern states, it's not just a southern problem anymore. And if you look at the red-blue map, it's really interesting. We have a solid, huge section, better than half the country, down the country's midsection, going all the way from the Canadian-American border down to the Texas-Mexico border, and the Gulf Coast states, of course, all of them red. And then on either side, you have blue states. Now think in terms of a future civil war. Let's just say a present-day civil war for sake of argument. You've got the blue nation, let's call it that now. You have the blue nation split in two by a huge contiguous red nation. Something to think about. We're running late. Let's go over to the Comedy Corner with Tommy Reiman.
It's good to be here. I'm so excited. This is fun. I've been having a good year. I had a big break. I was a semifinalist on Last Comic Standing. That was my big break. Thank you. I made it all the way to the semifinals. Some of my buddies made fun of me. They're like, Tommy, why didn't you make it past the semifinals? What happened? Why didn't you make it further than the semifinals? I was like, well, I'm originally from Minnesota. I watch a lot of Minnesota sports, so I thought the semifinals was as far as you could go. I thought I won Last Comic Standing for a long time. Called my mom up. I was like, start buying some houses. Someone made it to the semifinals. Yeah, this year's been fun. Last winter was kind of a bummer. I broke my collarbone last winter. That was a bummer. A couple days before Christmas, I broke it. I was doing something pretty dangerous. A lot of people have hurt themselves doing what I was doing. I was carrying groceries. I had two bags. They were pretty heavy. And somebody had put ice all over my driveway for some reason. Not sure who did it. It shows up every year, but... And ice is hard to see. If you're not looking for it, you can walk right by it or on it. Yeah. I wish it came in colors. That'd be awesome. Like, oh, the red ice is back. Yeah! They had black ice, but that's clear too, so I don't know why they call it that. It's confusing. So I didn't see it. I was walking by groceries. I lost both my feet. I flew up. I landed right on my shoulder. And right when it hit, I was like, oh, that feels different than it's ever felt before. Like, it hurt so bad. And then my body just started making pain sounds that it's never made before. It started coming out of me. And I thought I would have a manly pain noise. Is what I always assume. Like, you seem like you would have a manly pain sound. Like, you'd be like, "Rrr," and then your beard would grow a little bit more. So. That's an inch. I'll walk myself to the hospital. It's cool. But my pain noise went up. Like, it was just like, just laying in the driveway, surrounded by groceries, so I could survive a couple days. Nobody found me. Luckily, my wife heard me. She came running out, threw me into the car, drove me to the hospital. All the doctors came out. They're like, is your wife in labor? I was like, that was me. I made those sounds. I think there's a baby in my shoulder. Feels like twins. So then they brought me into the emergency room, and it was winter, so I had a bunch of layers on, so the doctor was like taking off my coat and cardigan and stuff, and he got me down to just a white t-shirt, like my undershirt, and he goes, sir, is it okay if I cut your shirt off? I was like, yeah, you're gonna have to, because I can't lift my arm up to get off. He goes, if I cut the shirt off, it is gonna ruin the shirt. I was like, no way, for real? It's like, well, you're in medical school, they teach you that one. Like, just make sure the patient knows when you take a scissor to the shirt, it's not gonna work the same way as it did before. They may wanna get some buttons in the gift shop on the way out.
Make it a great Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.